Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to The Approach Shot, the golf show that's more laughs than links, more stories than strokes, more guffaws than golfers. Here are the hosts of The Approach Shot, John Ashton and Neil Michaels.
It is time for us, we being The Approach Shot. I am John Ashton.
I'm Neil Michaels, and you look very excited.
I am. I am excited because finally, somebody that's a friend of mine is coming on as a guest, not somebody that's known you forever.
You know, it has been a while. I mean, I think the last person that we had on that was a friend of yours was the gentleman who's the chief entertainment officer.
Yes, Tim Laird.
Yeah.
That was at Brown-Forman Distillers.
At Brown-Forman, yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was a while back. So
it was. It was I'm delighted. A great episode, though, because he's a piece of work.
Yeah. Well, and, not only is today's guest a friend of yours, but I think lots and lots and lots of people know her better now than they did maybe 6 months ago.
I would agree with that completely. Yeah. Yes.
So we'll get into that in a minute. I want to tell you a story about something that happened to me this past weekend that you will love. My wife and I had a staycation here in San Diego, and one of the two, we went on a Friday, Saturday, and left early Sunday. Friday was gorgeous. Saturday, it rained all day. Friday, we're sitting out in this gorgeous place. It's called Paradise Point. It is as pretty as it sounds. And there are all these gorgeous trees, and there's ponds, and it overlooks Mission Bay. It's a couple of miles from the ocean. So there's lots of ducks and herons and egrets, huge birds, and of course, seagulls and stuff. And so the wife and I had breakfast, and we were reading books, and we decided we were going to get a cocktail and sit in one of these gorgeous Adirondack chairs looking out over the bay. We bought some duck food, and the ducks are coming over, and it's great fun. The cocktail runs out, so I go back and get more duck food and another cocktail, and we come back, and we notice that joining the ducks are a couple of seagulls. My father-in-law calls seagulls the rats of the sky because they'll eat anything.
Right out of your hand if you're not
right
fast
out of your
enough.
Hand. So that was the thing. We finally got the ducks to come up on the dock and eat out of our hands, and I don't care if you're 7 years old, 30 years old, 60 years old, having a duck eat out of your hand is cool as hell, and it's just a lot of fun. My wife says, you're never going to get the seagull to eat out of your hand because they just don't trust you. They'll fly by and grab something from you, but they won't eat out of your hand. That sounded like a challenge. So the seagulls that were in with the ducks, I threw a couple of the pieces of the duck food closer and closer and got them closer and closer. And finally, they jump up on the dock and begrudgingly ate one piece out of my hand and then turned away. Over time, they got to trust me. So they were eating three or four pieces out of my hand, and instead of turning away really fast, they sort of lingered. And I thought, I trained a seagull in 20 minutes. And she's like, that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. The second seagull comes, and it was like an old grandma-looking seagull. It bent over gray and was going, wah, 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 making just this horrible noise. The other gull wasn't actually put off by this, so we kept calling them grandma and grandson. The cocktail runs out. It's time for yet one more. Because we've now had two cocktails, I had to bring a little snack to absorb some of the alcohol. I get myself a bag of Doritos and I get her a bag of Cheez-Its. And the seagull comes back, eating out of my hand. Seagull proceeds then to jump up on my lap. And I was like, oh, it's so cute. Look, we've really formed a bond. Grabs my Doritos and flies off.
Saying, man, this is even better than fish.
And just to piss me off, he took it about 10 feet into the little area of the water that was right in front of us and was eating it in front of us. And I swear, if I didn't know any better, he was dunking them in the water to get some of the orange off. So the second gull, the grandma gull, goes out there and is now sharing. Now, I feel bad because there's a Dorito bag in the water. But also the fact that you're staring me down while you're eating my chips. Charlene looks over at me and she goes, I think they're having a conversation right now. And he's saying, way to go, grandma. Way to make it look like you're so old and so in need of food that they kept going back and finally drank enough to let their guard down. It took about an hour, but we finally got their chips. So I think I learned maybe next time I'll let the seagulls stay out in the water and maybe not invite them up. Shortly after they had taken it, and we're laughing about it, but we're also feeling violated, I look over at my wife and I go, seriously, that son of a bitch took my chips. Yes. As this family of like six kids walked by. Oh. The lesson to be learned there is don't let Neil drink and eat chips and feed birds at the same time.
That would be one lesson.
I remember, though, being in New Orleans, there were signs everywhere, do not feed the gulls. Mm-hmm. Because, if you feed one, suddenly, 100 come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And some family that were like three tables down from us thought it would be cute to do it anyway, because apparently the rules didn't apply to them.
Right.
And so you see them throwing some bread in the air, and it doesn't ever hit the ground. The gulls just come out of nowhere. They must have been on the roof or something. Yeah. And of course, at that point, they think that they have rights to everything. So they come and they land on your table and they start eating food off your table and stuff. Mm-hmm. The only solace for me was that they actually took most of the food off their plates and flew off.
And then just for good measure, came back and pooped on them.
Hey, people, that's why there's a sign.
That's right. I got to admit, again, as we alluded to at the beginning of this segment, the guest we have today is a wonderful woman. She's a friend of mine, totally transparent about this whole thing. She's business coach, my business coach.
Yeah.
She's a great business coach.
Yep.
And she's a star on reality TV.
She's a star.
Star.
Yes, she
star,
is.
Star power. We're going to talk about reality TV, about the Netflix show, The Trust, and a bunch of other stuff about how to succeed in business, but you're going to have to try.
Yep. Lindsay Anderson joins us when we come back. I'm so excited.
And we'll be right back. Hang out. We are the Approach Shot. Every golf club manufacturer will tell you that, yeah, they can make a club that's very forgiving, but you're going to have to give up a little distance for it. Well, PXG says that nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, and they have a club, the Black Ops Driver, that is very, very forgiving, yet you do not have to give up distance. And when they told me that, I said, okay, I got to see this thing. So I went to a PXG location, got a fitting. The PXG Black Ops Driver, it's a breakthrough in driver technology. It's a complete and total victory in golf club engineering. It's unlike anything you've ever seen before, and definitely unlike anything you've ever hit. The Black Ops Driver is adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of up to 10,000 plus for unreal forgiveness, and that's ridiculously high. The higher the MOI, the more forgiving the club will play, so you don't have to square the ball perfectly for it to go straight and get distance. You get incredible ball speed. It pushes distance to the absolute limits. It's more forgiveness. It's more distance. If you get a lot more distance off your drives, it's going to change your game. So trust me when I tell you the PXG driver is a true game changer. You will be as impressed with it as I was. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/approach. That's pxg.com/approach for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/approach.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we thank you for hanging out. We thank you for coming back. That is, if you're still here. We are The Approach Shot. I'm John Ashton.
I'm Neil Michaels. I'm wondering who you're talking to that you think didn't come back that is hearing you.
The guilt will drive them back. Trust me.
You know, podcasts and radio, where there is dead silence, mm-hmm. I understand it works really well.
Alarms go off, man.
People start knocking on things, turning volumes up and stuff.
When I was doing overnights, man, a couple times I was actually woken up by the dead air alarm.
Yeah.
The song had run out and who was paying attention?
Yeah, but we'll get into some more of those stories at some point, including the time that I got locked out of the station because I went to 7-Eleven to get a coffee and was like, now what?
Numerous stories like that we can top each other, but let's not do that now.
You know what? We have a guest who's got stories that are so much better than our old DJ stories.
Yes. And she's like a star.
She is a star.
Both in the business world.
Yeah.
She's a star in the podcast world.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Now a star on the streaming video world.
There you go. Lindsay Anderson.
Hey, everybody, John and Mike. I'm so glad to be here today. Thank you for the invite. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, just so you understand, Lindsay, people who know me very well call me Mike. It's actually Neil Michaels, but
okay.
Obviously, I'm not saying this to you. I'm saying this to the people who are listening. A lot of times people will go, why do people call you Mike? And it's like, it's a nickname. Neil Michaels, Mike, do you get it now? And it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, so should we call John Ash?
That's what they call my dad, man, all the time.
Really? Ash?
All the time.
The Ash man?
Because his name was the same as mine. They called him Ash. And when he took me back to the site of his first ever pastorate in Vermont, where I was born, they called me Baby Ashton.
Wow.
I put the stop to that almost immediately.
Now. You know what's cool, though, is that since we do most of our recordings on Wednesday, should we just start calling them Ash Wednesdays?
Probably not, but thank you. See, Lindsay is so nice. She actually laughs at the right times and everything, that. You know? Right. I was going to use my coffee cup, but I got here late, so I didn't get it. But do you remember the coffee cup that said traffic and leads on it?
I have very close to me. Yes, I do. I can't believe you got one of those. That's like a collector's edition, John.
It is, and I hold it close to the vest all the time. But that is how long I have known you, because that was one of the past iterations of your business. I will come out and I'll tell you right now, Lindsay is, I consider her a friend of mine,
yeah.
But she's also a business coach of mine. And I have had a couple different business coaches, and this is the first one that knew what the hell she was doing.
Thanks, John. John, did you know me when I was One Click Lindsay, or did you just know me as Lindsay Anderson?
I knew you as One Click Lindsay.
You did?
Yes. That's where I got there. And you sent me a copy of the book and a t-shirt. And the coffee
mug. You got to be one of my longest running fans then, John. And I appreciate you as a customer, man.
I am. And I'm going to stick with it because this woman is a freaking genius. I'm sorry.
So talk to us about that. Talk to us about how you get clients and what, when you say you're a business coach, what does all that entail?
Yeah. So I am a business coach, but I would also consider myself more of an online business strategist and consultant. So my real specialty is digital marketing. So like I know how to run ads and do SEO and help generate leads and then create systems around sales. So if you want to sell more stuff online, you come to me and I can tell you the best strategies on how to do that. So I've been doing that for 20 years. I have my own coaching business where I sell $1 million coaching business, and I have a done for you agency. So I'm kind of like moving and shaking online for the past 20 years.
And is that the build and monetize agency?
It certainly is.
Okay.
Yes.
So you have the business, you have the build and monetize agency. You have Lindsay Anderson coaching. You have a podcast called The Millionaire Maker Show.
Yep.
All of that going on. And then you thought, you know what I should do? I should go on reality TV.
Well, they reached out to me. So reality TV reached out to me because I do all of those things. And they're like, we have the perfect show for you. Will you come on? And I was like, I love reality TV. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm ready for a roller coaster ride. Let's do this.
So,
and you know, roller coasters have ups and downs. You know what I mean?
Ups and downs. So for those of you who are like, why is this business coach on your golf podcast? The answer to that is she's a star.
That's right.
She was recently on the first season of the Netflix reality competition series, The Trust. And from the very first show, you got into it. I mean, it didn't take boom. And Lindsay Anderson is there making friends and then suddenly making waves.
You know, the way I like to summarize my time and my edit on the show is I made spoiler alert for everybody who hasn't heard it, but 7 out of 8 episodes and the last 2 were named after me. So like how much, what else do I want? Okay. One was like snake in the grass. And the other one was like, the snake is a Slytherin. And I was the snake. I prefer to call it strategic. But we can go with snake if that's what they prefer. That's fine. That's sure. Fine.
And let me get into this a little bit. For those people who are like, I don't know what in the hell you're talking about. The Trust is this reality competition series on Netflix that has now gone through its first season. And it's a competition show in which $250,000 is at stake. The premise is really simple. Everybody can split the money. You put the 11 people out there and everybody can split the money and you have the dullest reality show of all time if that happens. But of course it doesn't because they have people from all walks of life, some nice people, some in the middle people, and some absolute snakes. And every episode, the choice is to continue to have all of the people split the money or you start voting people off. The more you vote people off, the fewer people split the $250,000. And at the end of every episode, there's a trust ceremony, which is similar to Survivor's tribal council. And the remaining people get a larger share until you get to the last episode. And at the last episode, you see who is left, how many is left, and they split the money.
Well,
the season is over, and you can see what happened if you go online, but it would be better if you watch the series because it's great.
It is, but it's not quite as simple as making a choice of splitting the money equally or not, because they always put two people in a situation, or at least one person in a situation, where they have to either be totally altruistic or show their greed.
Right. Yeah, they go down to an area called the Vault, which is the coolest thing I've ever seen on reality television. It's got bars of gold. It's got stacks of money. And two people go down there. And of course, the two people go down immediately have a target on their back. Mm-hmm. And at that point, there are two offers. One is more selfish, altruistic, and the other is more team. I'm sorry. One is more selfish and one is more team focus. Mm-hmm. And of course, everybody tries to play nicey nice and go team focus at the beginning. But then as you start to dislike some of your people and the selfishness happens, then people start to take the money and be like, they'll never know. It's the coolest concept. I think it was episode number 2 where I started hating people's guts.
Sorry about that.
Lindsay, you did a great job. If the plan was, and I think it was, for you to sort of be in the middle and sort of try to lay low while also having an influence in the game, I think you did great.
Thank you.
Was that the plan?
That was my plan. You know, I'm a big Big Brother fan. And so like I knew more than all of the contestants about reality TV. So I go in, I'm playing Big Brother. And like, that was my first mistake, was going in playing Big Brother and being super strategic around people who were like not playing, because that really put a target on my back. Like, who is it? What is she doing? I'm scared of her. Like, why is she talking like this? But I was kind of like, this is what you do in Big Brother. So then I was very much at risk, like just going into it, because everyone was like, what is she doing? And so I had to, vote that first time just to save my own. But
how long did it take you to know who you could and could not trust?
Oh, can you trust any of them, John? Haven't you seen the show?
I was going to say I wouldn't trust any of them, but you acted like you did, at least at the beginning.
I did. You know, that's why I got so pissed at Jake in that second episode, was because like we had this really personal conversation around our kids and around our family. And like, you know, maybe I'm an overly trusting person. So like I really felt like we had a connection there. And then he goes and like goes out of his way to like put me at the end of the line. And then in his interview, he says, yeah, I was just trying to get information from her. So yeah, I was pissed. And because like all the, you know, the other thing you didn't see on TV, if I may. Okay.
Yes,
about that.
Please. Yeah.
Me yelling at Jake. So Jake does his little thing down there and all the women go up into this room.
Yep.
And we start talking about all the men that have done us wrong and everything that a man has ever done for us. And Jake is like the epitome of race, you know, like he's every racist man and he's every this man. And like, you know, women, we start talking. And so really when I went and yelled at him, it was like, There was a lot there. Now, the next morning, I actually apologized to Jake at breakfast. Of course, they don't show this on Netflix.
Right.
Hey, Jake, sorry. Should have shown you some more respect there. And him and I became like, you saw him flip my card because we did have a relationship because we broke it. Then we came back together. And then we really were allies like for the rest of the game. He was the first person to hug me on the way out.
Lindsay, I got to tell you, my wife and I are watching the show, and what you are talking about was in the second episode where they had this guy, Jake, and he lined people up by who they thought he could trust. And the most trustworthy person was here, was at one end. The least trustworthy person was at another end. They also then had who should be a leader, and he put himself at the front of the line on that and put you guys at the back. We're screaming at the TV. Who gives a damn? What difference does it make where you stand in a line? Blah, blah, blah. And that's how you know you sucked us in because we're yelling at the TV.
Amen. Amen.
So what we see on television, that's interesting that you said that. What we see on television is you and he not getting along. And then we don't see when you guys sort of, you know, kumbaya the next time. But as you then watch the series afterward, are there things that you look back on and think, man, I wish they had shown more of that, or man, I wish they hadn't shown that?
I mean, yeah, there's just like a lot of TV there, but more or less than what they should or shouldn't have shown, what went down, you know. But for me, I think, you know, there are a couple of key things that I would have changed, you know, like, and you probably don't want to go into those right now, but yeah, I mean, they basically have 10 people with 10 storylines,
yeah,
and they get to pick whose perspective and storyline they're telling the story from. So do I wish they would have shown more of my good guy story? Yeah, but that's okay. It's fine. It's good.
We've got more stories. We had Wells Adams
from Bachelor in Paradise
a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling about having a producer with you and the sound guys and the camera guys and everybody in your face all the time and all of downtime. So I want to talk about what y'all did in the downtime and other times when we come right back. Okay, hang with us. Lindsay Anderson is our guest. We are The Approach Shot, and we will be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And thanks for hanging and coming back. I'm John Ashton. This is The Approach Shot.
I'm Neil Michaels, and I love that you want to get like the dirt that went on behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. It's,
Lindsay, just to tell you, before we had Wells on, John was like, do we really want reality people on the show? Because it's about golf. And I was like, hell yeah, we do. This is juice, man.
And I said, well, then I got a reality star we need to talk to.
And then you should have seen John and Wells were like best buds. And I'm sitting back going, you go for it, guys. So I love the fact that John is now has turned toward this. So yeah, I love the
fact. What else are you going to talk about on the golf course if it's not reality TV? You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Business in reality TV. That's all you need.
That's it.
And then if you got business being on reality TV, then there you go. That's just a perfect combination.
That's why I'm here.
When the cameras weren't rolling,
yeah,
were the personalities the same? Were there people who had on-camera personalities that changed when the cameras were off?
Okay, so our show, it was a lot like Big Brother. They were videoing 24/7, but we were not mic'd 24/7. And so we had a concept called ICE. Basically, production would call ICE, and you were not allowed to talk to anyone, make eye contact with anyone. It was essentially how I viewed it, was like a pause in the game, a pause in the timeline. And so they would call ICE a lot around there. So what would I do in those times was me and Mama Jay, who was another contestant on the show. Mm-hmm. She was an older contestant. I brought some crochet and Mama Jay brought her stitch point. And so we'd go up and have sewing circle in some of our downtime. And we would just sit there and sew and nobody else had anything else to do. And like, so we actually ended up teaching some of the contestants some of our needlepoint situation. But we would have ice. But the real thing was the microphone. So if you were not mic'd, you were not allowed to speak to anyone. And they were real serious about it. Because if it wasn't on the mic, then like it didn't happen. And like, right. It would be kind of funny because you'd be yelling, like I'd be sitting and talking to Tolu and Winnie on their bed, maybe like sitting like this. And we'd be in the middle of some emotional, like the boys did this, blah, blah. And then production would come in. You have to sit up, cut. Like you have to sit up. We can't hear you. You're like laying on your mic. And so they would like just interrupt, like right in the middle of a big fight or something.
So did they cover your microphone when you made that excellent dive into the pool?
Yeah. Did you like that?
Oh, no, I love that.
The funny part about, if you want to know the behind the scenes story, my husband was hoping this was going to make it. So we have the mics on and they're like, we're having a pool party. Obviously it's for the cameras. And so do not get these mics wet. Do not fall in to the pool. So I'm playing volleyball and I end up stepping off the edge into the pool. And like, oh. I'm falling back. So I felt like crap about that. So I got rid of the mic and that's when you see the beautiful dive into the pool. Yeah.
Well, I used to teach swimming. So, I mean,
I did.
It comes naturally, right?
I did. If you don't know what that is, like I nailed the woman dives into the pool in the island tropic role. And it was awesome because I'm like 43 with three kids.
It's a shame you didn't win a whole lot of money because then they could have, you know, docked you for the price of the mic.
But I know. And here's the thing about money. You know, it was $250,000. I was always doing calculations, a splitting that between 11 people. My online business can pretty much do that piece, right? And you split it and then you split it for taxes. Like we're not really fighting over like a lot of life-changing money here. So for me, and this is what I would say in interviews, it was always about like winning the game. How long can I stay?
That's so interesting you say that because I thought the same thing as we're watching it. If we get to a point where let's just say using normal odds that half the people get voted off and half stay, which is about what ended up happening.
Yes.
You're talking about 250,000. So it's on average, I think it was like 46,000 that people won. That was the base. I know there were some individual things that were on top of that, but the base was like 46 grand for the people who won. After taxes, that's about 25 to 30 grand.
Yeah.
Do you really want your life to be in front of people? Do you want people to know that you slept with your husband, you had an affair with the guy you ended up marrying and, you know, that you have three kids? And do we want all of this out there for 30 grand?
I didn't do it for the money. You know, that's what I can say about that. I did it. Yeah. I'm a thrill seeker. I'm already out in front of people. As far as sharing all my deep, dark secrets, let me tell you this. Okay. As far as that goes, I could tell you secrets about people on that show that would make your eyebrows raise. Okay. Yeah. My crap got shown on TV. I'm okay with that. I'm a pretty authentic, like, hey, I've made my mistakes. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. Everyone can look at me. I'm totally fine with that. But my point is like, yeah, my crap got shown, but we all shared a lot of stuff in that house. It was 3 weeks with these people. Like you really do get to know them and friend them.
So what did you do when they called ICE on that? You couldn't talk to anybody. You just...
Yeah, I'll tell you an interesting story about ICE. Can I tell you an interesting story about ICE?
We demand it. Yes.
So like it's interesting how it can like kind of pause the game. So we go out to that final thing where we have to show all of our votes. Okay. And remember this episode where I had who did you vote for?
Yeah.
And so then right after that, and you saw my team kind of be like, oh, Lindsay voted for these people. I knew that those boys would basically listen to the last woman they talked to. Literally, I would go into interview and I'd be like, whoever the last person is that the boys talk to, if Tolu says Lindsay sucks, then the boys believe that. If Lindsay says Tolu sucks, the boys believe that. So we show our votes. I go into interview and then they call ICE until that last voting ceremony. So I was, and Tolu could talk to the boys, but I was never able to talk to them again. So that's how powerful ICE can be. As far as what you do, you're not allowed to do anything during ICE. You cannot even make eye contact. And it could be for hours.
Can't even drink heavy.
Yeah, can't even drink heavy. Nothing.
Jeez. It is interesting that you just said earlier that you watched Big Brother and you were playing the game and the other people weren't. It was really obvious to me as a reality show watcher. I'm not a junkie, but I'm a watcher, that there wasn't anybody playing. There weren't, for example, when the girls went in the very first episode, went into the bedroom and decided you were going to create an alliance. The boys didn't even know what an alliance was, much less know how to spell it. Mm-hmm. So you kind of were like, do you guys not get that they're going to be picking you off one at a time because they're going to be a larger number of people? And they just never seemed to get that. I don't know if it was because there were some strong personalities and some weaker personalities, or if they just didn't understand how it was done. But that was another thing screaming at the TV. It was like, form an alliance.
Yeah. I mean, from my perspective, those gentlemen really were like, oh, we can all make it together. Like, I felt like they were a little Pollyanna about the whole thing. Like, you really think that people saying to your face, we're not voting people out, like they're going to vote for you. And I kept trying to tell them that, but they never really believed. Like, they were shocked every time someone was voted out. Shocked.
That cop / stripper. Man, I didn't like him from the first minute. It didn't look like anybody else did either.
I loved him, and I kept yelling at the TV, tell the truth.
Yeah, he would have been much better off that way. That's for sure. Yeah.
So part of what you do in your regular life, on top of everything we've talked about, you're also a guest speaker. Has your phone and your email blown up since the show?
You know, it does for the first 3 or 4 weeks after that. But I know enough about like marketing and sales. Like, I was already prepared for this. Like, it's the whole 15 minutes of fame, flash in the pan thing. Like, I've been featured on major news networks before and stuff like that. And it's all about the end game. So now I have authority and positioning so I can get on awesome podcasts like this because of what I've done. So it really opens up a lot of doors that way, because you're suddenly associated with such a big brand and that trust kind of flows through to you. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a long-term win as well as a short-term win.
Well, then, you know what? If we're going to go there, let's go ahead and be your PR firm for a minute. If people want you as a guest speaker, if people want to be a client of the Build and Monetize agency, if they want Lindsay Anderson Coaching, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, all you need to do is go to lindseya.com, LINDSEYA.com, and then click on contact, and you have all of the different options for if you want me to speak, if you need help scaling your online business, or if you want to sell more of your services online, you just head over to lindseya.com.
What I think is fascinating about being able to put it all together like that is you have people who are potential clients and you have fans.
Yes.
Are you able to convert fans, or is that just keeping the numbers game going?
Yeah, it's like the difference between, it's really interesting because it's the difference between like posting on social media like an influencer, where mm-hmm. people really care about like what you had for breakfast and like where you're going versus posting like a business owner, which I had been doing for the last 20 years, but then being in this influencer game in such a big way, you have to find a balance, because people will not buy from you because you're showing them your latest meal. Like, they just mm-hmm. won't. For me, it's always a quality game when it comes to social media.
And whatever you have to do to get in touch with her is well worth the trip.
Thanks,
I'll
John.
Just say that.
Thank you, man.
You're quite welcome. She's given us some great ideas that you and I need to talk about too.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mr. Neal.
Lindsay, here's the latest that bugged the hell out of John and I. We now have merch. For the first time in 3 years, we have merch. We have coffee mugs and we have shirts. But the only way for people to get them is to go on our Twitter account, which is at The Approach Shot, and click on there and have it go through to the store. We clearly would like other ways for them to do it, but we are currently not using those other ways. Perhaps you could pull us aside and teach us how to do something.
There are certainly much more effective ways to convert more people than driving them to Twitter through a shopping cart. You don't want to be doing that, you guys. Come on. I lost you after you said Twitter.
There you go.
Yes, because we should have said X, formerly known as Twitter.
Nah.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll never happen. Not out of this mouth. It will never freaking happen. Lindsay, we love you. This is great. But unfortunately, we're going to have to turn on you like a reality show where people love you and then they do this. We're about to hit you with a six pack.
Okay.
Six pack of questions that are designed especially to get the first thought that comes to mind. And we will do that when we come back.
And we're coming right back. We are The Approach Shot. Hang out with us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I know you are sitting there with rapt anticipation. It is time to unwrap the anticipation and get into the six pack. We are The Approach Shot. I'm John Ashton.
I'm Neil Michaels. And for a minute there, I thought he said he was going to rap and I was going to walk out of the room.
Hotel motel.
And can I get out of these six questions, right?
This is going to be so great. Oh my God, this is going to be great.
Oh man.
Lindsay, we're going to fire off six questions. They are not necessarily questions that you're going to want to answer, but you're going to anyway. Give us the very first answer that comes to mind. If we think that you're thinking about it or you're hemming and hawing, we're going to give you the and tell you to speed it up, girl.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready. Go.
Look at her.
Let's go.
Stop dillying and dallying,
yeah,
man. Get to it.
I mean, you're building this up. Let's get on.
We talked about this. If you have a little bit of quiet, it builds the anticipation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
Pension.
Question one. Being on a reality competition show, you have gained not only business acquaintances, but fans. Who did you hear from that surprised you the most?
Other reality TV show stars. Okay, now I am thinking about it the most. I'm sorry. There were so many people. Okay, I got buzzed. Who surprised me the most? Okay, fine. Who surprised me the most? All of the really mean people that reached out in my DMs because they really didn't like me. It was shocking.
Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Did you hear from people from Big Brother, Survivor, The Bachelor?
I did hear from one person from Big Brother. Yes.
Hmm. Interesting. I would have thought Boston Rob would have reached out to you because he likes the community of reality show people.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. We're trying to get him on. Just to let you know, John, I've been trying to get Boston Rob for a while. Question
Only
two.
If he comes dressed.
Now that season one of The Trust is over, is there anyone with whom you maintained a friendship?
Yes. I still talk with Gasper quite frequently, and I had dinner with Bryce and his lovely wife. So I connect with those guys, and as well as I have seen and reconnected with all of the cast. I think they're all really fabulous. If anybody actually reached out to me, I wouldn't be surprised.
How about that? And I have to say, Bryce was probably my favorite. The fact that he's a millionaire at 22 years old and came on, he didn't do it for the money, blah, blah, blah. But he was a good character.
I'll tell you what, my 7-year-old's still mad at me for voting him out. He's just the other morning was like, Mom, tell me again why we had to vote Bryce out.
Yeah, you'll hold on to that for a while. That's great.
Yeah.
Question three. So you're not into golf, but you are very active in parkour and boating. So if you could go on a one-day sail with two people from any time in history, who would be your crew?
And I can't pick you guys, right? Okay.
You certainly can. A terrible choice, but you can do it.
I would probably, I'd probably pick you. I also read a book called The Tao Te Ching. And so there's a great thought, a guy who lived 2,500 years ago named Lao Tzu that I would love to be on the boat with, as well as like who's somebody super fun that I would love to be on the boat with, like John. I'd be on the boat with you too.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I feel like she lied there at the end. She had to come up with somebody. She said somebody fun, and then she said,
"I mean, I mean, Taylor Swift.
Thank
I would
you.
Really
That's
like to
what
pick
we're talking
her brain.
About.
Yeah,
Michael Jordan, Taylor Swift."
Yeah.
Jesus.
Although with Taylor Swift and Lao Tzu. How about that?
Yeah. George Washington. He knows a little something about a boat, that kind of thing. Okay. Question four, even though you tried to stay under the radar, your personal life was very much, as you said, on display from the very first show when you started talking about, you know, what we already talked about. Do you regret being so open about your personal life?
No, I do not regret being so open about personal life. I like I said, I am who I am. I've made my mistakes. If he who has not made mistakes, step forward. I'm fine with that because I feel like it lowers people's expectations of how their life should be going.
There you go. I love the fact that you tried not to be perfect too. Perfect people don't exist.
Yeah.
Except for John, obviously. You're in incredible shape and you do a lot of exercise. So question five. 8-year-old Lindsay gets to run into 7-Eleven and pick any treat that she wants. What are you running out with?
Lemonheads.
Wow.
Period.
Bang.
Little Lindsay is all about the Lemonheads.
What about 43-year-old Lindsay? Would it still be
Lemonheads?
Still.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see that that's a question we don't have to ask twice. All right. And question six, and we ask this of everybody who comes on the show, since we are the Approach Shot, Lindsay Anderson, in your approach to life, what one rule do you live by?
That life is happening for me and not to me. I try to just everything that comes at me, there's like a reason for it. And I really try to make the most out of it. So that's typically kind of what is going on in my head.
Wow. Very nice. Well, you know what? She looked a little bit concerned about the six pack, but didn't turn out that you really were you?
Breezed right through.
Ooh, is it hot in here or is it just me?
Just you, sweetheart.
As two older white guys, we just let that just go right by, didn't we? It's you.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen, I think that the most amazing thing about your story is that your life as a business coach and your life as a millionaire maker and your life in the business world intersected with this life that seemed completely opposite of that. And yet you tackled it incredibly, even though you obviously got to, by the way, where was the show filmed? Where was the house?
In the beautiful Dominican Republic.
It was in the Dominican. Okay. Yes. Cause that was a spectacular house, but it's incredible how you have taken something that is the antithesis of what you do every day and aced it. Even if you didn't end up being the winner of the show, you got out of it what you intended to get out of it.
It's true. Thank you so much for noticing. Yeah.
There's a place in Oregon somewhere called Bandon Dunes. You ever heard of it?
I haven't.
Beautiful, brand new, beautiful golf course built right on the ocean. And it's
That's not exactly next to Portland. That's about 3.5 hours away.
Okay.
It's okay. It's closer than, you know,
it's closer than you are.
2,172 miles away.
On the Millionaire Maker podcast, how often do you do it and what do people hear when they're there?
Yeah. So those are my strategies for over the last 20 years, where I tell you the truth about what it takes to build an online business and to create marketing and sales strategies that actually work to sell people things. And so I release a new episode out there every single Tuesday, and that's with me, solo episodes, as well as really awesome guests in the industry to help you scale your online business. The truth behind it takes work, it takes effort, it takes a system, but it is available for everybody if you're willing to actually do the work. I'm always giving live events. So if you're hearing this later, just go to lindsaya.com. At the top banner is the next time I'm giving a free masterclass, because I'm here to tell people the truth about what it takes to build an online business. No more like hoping and praying and thinking like, internet dreams. You actually like have a strategy, put it to work and actually do it. And so I'm trying to tell people the truth about it, that it takes some work and some strategy. And so I'm always teaching live events.
Okay. I'm not trying to stroke you, but I am going to say something. The reason why I actually decided that this was the best business coach I ever had is because I went to one of her free events. And she doesn't do what everybody does in a free event, tease you, tell you, hey, you can do this. And if you come and pay me lots of money, I'll tell you how. No, she actually tells you what she's promised to tell you.
Thanks, John. Mm.
And then we'll say, if you want, you know, if this sounds like something you can deal with, then come work with me. I'd love to. And that's why I immediately just said, okay, I don't care. I'm going with this woman because she doesn't tease. She actually gives you stuff that you can use. When she says she's going to do it for free, she does it.
That's outstanding, because the world is full of those clickbaiters that say, if you want to learn how to do this or you want to do that, and then you click and you click and you click through, and then at the end it's pay this amount of money, and that's just the first level, and then there's the same amount of money. So the fact that you do that is remarkable.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I'm fighting against, you know, like what it really takes.
And she does it good. And listen to her podcast. It's amazing.
Before we go, Lindsay, as two people who run a golf-flavored podcast, you mentioned something that was interesting sort of in passing, that even though you're not a golfer, you understand, and John and I talk about this regularly, that being on the golf course and doing business on the golf course is possibly the best place to do business. I mean, we know what we think, but, you know, we're not successful business coaches. Why do you think that is?
Let me put it this way, because it doesn't even matter. So like I do a lot of automation. I do tons of marketing. I run ads, like a lot of tech to support in the sales process. And it doesn't matter how much tech you have. It doesn't matter all these processes you have. To build a business, it will always be about monetizing relationships, period. It doesn't matter how many emails you send because it's still about that relationship. So when you get out on the golf course, eye to eye with somebody, we're smiling, we're relaxed, and we're creating rapport. The magic that can come off of one relationship and have a ripple effect on your business cannot be beat by any digital marketing strategy that I can teach you.
A 45-minute business lunch where you're constantly interrupted by waiters and you're having to eat in front of somebody versus 4 hours of really getting to know how they are. Are they competitive? Are they a team player? Do they tend to lose their cool when they do something bad? Do they tend to go a little crazy on the other way when they do something good? You can learn so much about them, about how you will do business together, but there's nothing like having 4 hours together, whether you're in the same cart or you're in the same foursome, because you've just experienced something so fun and relaxing and rewarding together.
Yeah, you're going to associate all of those good feelings with that person that you're with and like just the kind of people that golf, you know, like these guys are high ambition level, ready to go.
Let me tell a little anecdote and then we'll let her get back to work. You know, the idea that I germinated and we've discussed here about the golfingforbusiness.com, the coaching program that Lindsay has taught me how to do. One of Lindsay's techniques is she'll tell you to go to your competition just to see what they're doing. And I panicked because I went to look for competition and there was none. Lindsay is the one who talked me off the ledge because I assumed since there was no competition, it was a stupid idea. But she was the one who assured me that business is about relationships, and this is the best way to build relationships. And that's why I continued with the idea and have gotten to the point we're at now.
So that's interesting, because I can tell you that in 3 to 6 months, there will be lots of people who are checking you out going, he's the competition.
Let's hope.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way to go, because it's basically building relationships around a really great game.
Well, Lindsay,
and anytime
Anderson,
you get the urge to play, just give me a call.
There you
I'll
go.
I'll invite you anytime right. you want. We're
in fact, now I'm motivated. I'm very motivated to pick up. I need to take John's course, because apparently you don't even have to play golf well to make these sales on the course. So that's the thing. I don't play golf, but like it's definitely what you should be doing. You know, if you don't want sales, do it.
You can start with putt-putt. Work into it.
Okay. I don't think that keeps your positioning playing putt-putt.
No, but you know.
Probably not to say. Yeah, that's probably not the place you want to do business. Because if the person that you're playing with is doing putt-putt, it's probably not the best idea.
It's probably my 7-year-old, and he doesn't have any money. Okay.
Hey, Lindsay, yeah. Gosh, it was great to get to know you. I know you and John are close, and I feel blessed to get to know you and learn a little bit more about you. And frankly, you know, I was a fan and was rooting for you the whole way. And even though you didn't win any money, you sort of won me as a fan, and talking to you about business certainly has. So I'm delighted you got a chance to join us today on the Approach Shot.
I really appreciate you guys. This was a total blast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming, Lindsay. We appreciate it immensely for spending some time with us here on the Approach Shot.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, man. If you haven't seen The Trust yet, you've got to go see it. If you need a business coach, you got to give her a call. And if you just want to check her out, see if you can get an invitation, which you can, to that free masterclass that she's giving. And
I have to tell you, the interesting thing about this is when we started this, you said she's your friend, she's your business coach and stuff. And I felt like, I don't want to be a third wheel here. Maybe I should sit back and all that kind of stuff. And now after talking with her, I feel like I'm part of her circle. She's welcoming.
Yes. Yes,
and
indeed.
So smart.
Have you ever been to Salt Lake City?
Yes.
Okay. I took a tour of Salt Lake City when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm bringing this up is that you were talking about seagulls.
Yeah.
And I remember after the Tabernacle tour, the tour guide said, okay, now we're all going to meet at the Seagull Monument. And I went, why do they have a monument for some Jewish guy in Salt Lake City? I just didn't understand.
You didn't think it was Jonathan Livingston Seagull?
I think this was pre-Jonathan, but we don't want to get into that timeline.
I think he's my uncle, Mort Siegel.
Oh. But anyhow, we went to this thing, and it's just this huge obelisk, tall column, whatever, with a carved seagull at the top. And the story is there was an infestation of locusts in Salt Lake City back in the late 1800s.
All right.
This is another band that you may remember from the 80s. A flock of seagulls.
Flock of seagulls, yeah.
Arrived in Salt Lake City and ate the locusts.
Stop it. Is that true?
Never before and never since have there been seagulls seen in Salt Lake City.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is that because they all got sick from eating the locusts? So
don't eat the locusts.
Don't eat the locusts.
Wait for Neil and the chips.
Wow. That's really interesting, though, because this year, 2024, is a double locust year.
Oh, the cicadas are coming out. The cicadas, 17 and the 7 or whatever.
17 and the 7s are both supposed to be coming out anytime now.
Yeah.
You know, 1st of April, I think, and will stay probably through midsummer. Mm-hmm. And if seagulls are a way to get rid of them, they could feast this year.
This year, you know who else feasts this year? What is concurrent with cicada emergences, whatever. There is a wasp that is a cicada eater.
Oh.
And they do the alien thing. They land on the cicada and they suck everything out from the inside. They get through the shell. And, you know, when you get that exoskeleton on the outside, everything good is on the inside. You will play golf. The last time the cicadas came out in great numbers, there are many empty cicada carcasses littered all over golf courses.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was a couple of years ago, I went back to the Baltimore, Washington area, and it was cicada season. There were tons and tons of empty cicada shells. It's a little gross unless you've lived through it, and then it's just like, nah, it happens. And it does make you wonder in the grand scheme of things, like, where do they go?
Yeah.
And do they just disintegrate? Do they go into the ground? Is it good for, is it good nutrition for grass and plants? And I don't know the answer to that. If you know the answer to that, let us know. Write us at one of our many places and let us know, because John and I are curious.
Insect experts, the study of insects is etymology.
Yes.
Right? The study of words is entomology.
Hmm.
A lot of people get that confused. And somebody once said, when you confuse etymology and entomology, that really bugs.
I knew you were going there. I heard it coming from a mile away, and yet I was sucked in.
And with that, I will leave you for the week.
Oh, God, please do. Because I don't know where you go from there, but it's got to be up.
Don't forget, you can get our shirts. You can get a coffee mug. Where'd I go?
They go to @TheApproachShot on Twitter, and we have ads on there. You just click straight through, and the mugs are a mere $10, and they're really cool. They've got the original Approach Shot logo on it. Your coffee will taste even better in there, and then the shirts are there, and you pick one from one of a number of colors and from your size, and it will ship straight to your house. And I will just say this. If either John or I sees you anywhere with an Approach Shot shirt on, we will send you a coffee mug for free.
We will do that because we're nice guys and we want your coffee to taste better.
And we like the idea that you're spreading the word for us without us having to do anything.
Exactly, because we're basically lazy people. That's why we do this for a living to begin with.
We are the kind of people who will just leave the cicada carcasses there because we figure the wind will blow them somewhere into some giant pile and somebody will sweep them up, but it won't be us.
Another reason to rent leaf blowers.
I thought you said you were going to leave us. Next week, we're back to another incredible NFL player. He played for the Kansas City Chiefs. If he's not a Hall of Famer, he should be. And we're going to have him on next week because we like you that way.
We seem to be doing a lot of work with folks from the Kansas City Chiefs. When will Taylor Swift be here?
I'm working on that.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm working on that. I'm thinking it'll be a while. Probably. She seems busy.
They say that Taylor Swift has written an awful lot of songs about guys that she's broken up with or have done her wrong. Mm-hmm. Right? Stevie Nicks has done the same thing, but made her ex play guitar on all of them.
Yeah, that's tough. That's really tough.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll leave you with that. I know I threatened leaving before, but I had to add that in. All right. So get a shirt, get a coffee mug, hang out, drink a lot, and be back next week.
Be back We'd next week is the part we can ask the most of. But you know, since he asked, you know, John asked for a lot of things. Do all of them.
All right, I'm John Ashton.
I'm Neil Michaels. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Approach Shot with the Weekend Golf Guys. If you like this week's episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your podcasts. And find us on the web at approachshot.net.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.